I'd like you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 21, and we'll start with verse 11. But before we do, let's start with a word of prayer also. We're obviously going to need it today. Dear Father of Heaven, Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that we have your Scripture of Truth. And we know that thy truth is very important, because thy truth is a reflection of thy character. And we know that through the truth, through the law, and through Jesus Christ, you've come to show us thy perfect character of love. So Father, as we come before you now and we open your Bible, I pray that your Spirit of Truth can come upon our hearts, and that we can discern, you know, the truth from error, and that the Holy Spirit will bring to our hearts that the times we're living in and the times we need to stand up and serve thee. So Heavenly Father, I pray that your Spirit will perform on every heart here this morning. And I pray that you could be with my heart, that it speaks the words that that will come from thy throne. And also we pray that, you know, that your hand will be upon this presentation too, that we could go through and not worry about that, but worry about thy word. So thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer, and thank you for blessing your Holy Spirit, and thank you for blessing your service this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we talked about, we come to the end of the year. You know, Peter's mentioned a bit about that in the Sabbath school lesson. And when we come to an end of a year, we tend to want to reflect on the year that's gone. Reflect on the year as a church, and reflect on our life individually. But when we come to there, you know, we could look at reflection either, you know, as a good, you know, we said, oh, this is achieved, so let's go and do this bit more next year, or we can reflect, we have not done it as enough. And the verse that I chose this morning out of this is verse 11 and 12 out of Isaiah chapter 20. And the Bible reads, the burden of Dumah he calleth to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman saith, the morning cometh, and also the night. Inquire ye, return, come. So this is we as a church have been called as watchmen. And what's the watchman's duty? You can answer, you know. What is the watchman's duty? To keep a watch. And a watchman actually, he's got to know the time of the watch, doesn't he? You know, we have, as in Bible times, you know, we have, you know, the first, second, third, and fourth watch. And we see that, you know, we as a church, we have to know the time of this earth's history, because we're the ones who've got to proclaim. We are the watchmen to proclaim this third angel's message that has to go to all the world. And it says there, and what did the watchman answer? The morning cometh, and the night also. Okay, as we understand, the morning that cometh is the great consummation of Jesus Christ coming in the clouds of heaven. That is that morning coming. But the night also. What would that, you think that would that mean also? Big pardon? Yeah, well, the wicked. So we have the coming of eternal life for the righteous, and also we have coming eternal death for the wicked. So the night is coming. So we have to know what the time that we are in. And so this is why I thought I bring a service to you about, well, we're going through Daniel, and would have been up to Daniel 11, and that is it's got to be brought, but that is a very big chapter on a lot of history, and that probably people do go to sleep on that, but it's we have to know that. And so that's just as a church, we don't know Daniel and Revelation as we should, into a depth where we can actually go out and share verse by verse to a person. And that's what we should, and that's why I bring this. But today, you know, I just wanted to come to that the great controversy is nearly ended. You know, whatever we may think, that, you know, because the culmination of what is happening in this world today And it's not very, you know, all the world is wandering after the image of the beast, and the image is nearly formed. And then we come to a truth as Seventh-day Adventists and as watchmen. So this is a preparation. See, for me to come up here and share is not just to share for 1 hour, then we go to a potluck, but it's to share, to encourage, and to show you, and to help you to minister to, you know, a ways of doing the church. And that's what I wanted to do today. And so, it says here in manuscripts, I'll just read one, the watchman of the night. Do you know what time of the night? Do you feel no burden to lift the danger signal and give the warnings of this time? If you do not, he says, come down off the walls of Zion. For God will not entrust you with light he has to give. Light is only given to those who reflect the light to others. So God is asking us, if we truly want to be, you know, the soldiers of the cross, as we just sang, then we have to reflect that light that God has given to us. And here it is in the three angels' message, in the everlasting gospel, and in the truth that is in uniting of church and state and to persecute God's people. So that was just one, when we reflect on what we're going to do next year, or reflect on what we have, put it into that light. We are watchmen, and the morning cometh, and the night also. And if you want to think that it's not quite correct, but just look back, glance back to verse 9. And it just says there, Babylon is fallen. All the graven image of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. So you know that that this is a message for our time. And it's worth the study. And because I just going to a meeting in a couple of weeks, and that was their card, which you see on the board. And I thought, well, what's this? So I thought, see if that's in the Bible. And yay, that is in the Bible. And it's mentioned quite a few times in our hymns, you know, Watchman, what of the night. So therefore, think about those. And the other preamble I would like you also to come back to, and this is coming towards our topic for the day, is Mark chapter 3, verse 1. I had to bring these thoughts to you because it'd be hard to see how what I'm trying over the time to see to fit in. And so we have here Jesus, you know, the Pharisees wanted to tempt him on the Sabbath day. And he entered into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And then we know that, and they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. So if you go down to verse 5, where we know the part that, you know, that is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day. But verse 5, it says, when he looked around about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of her heart, he said to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and the hand was restored to the other. Let's turn over to now to Luke chapter 6, because Luke, being that physician, gives us that little bit more detail. Luke chapter 6 and verse 6. And we had the same, in verse 6, we had the same setting, that it came to pass also on another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And then Jesus said, rise up and stand forth in the midst, in verse 8. Rise up and stand forth in the midst. And in verse 9, I'll ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? Then in verse 10, he said the same thing. Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and the hand was restored whole as the other. Okay? In our messages, what is the right hand of our three angels' message? It's the health message, isn't it? So this is what we need to know, is that the health messages. When we walk through this door here, which hand did, most people are probably right-handed, which hand did you open the door with? Right hand. Everyone's looking around trying to push there. You see, it's right hand opens the door. To allow the message. So the health message has to go forth before we can bring the message of the three angels' message to them. So this is going to open doors. And when I look at this parable, this man's right hand was withered. Now, we have not shared the gospel of the health message as we should. But if we do so in next year, or look for ways of doing it next year, when God says, arise in the midst of them and stretch forth that right hand, it will restore back to whole. And it will have the influence that it will have in opening people's hearts to the message that we have dearly to share, that Jesus is coming soon. If you doubt that, we find that in testimonies. I've just got a little bit of testimonies here just to show that what is being said. You know, this is found in 7 Testimonies on page 59. Medical missionary work is the right hand of the gospel. Okay? It is necessary to the advancement of the cause of God. As through it, men and women are led to see the importance of right habits of living and saving power of the truth will be made known. Every city is to be entered by workers trained to do medical work. As at the right hand of the third angel's message, God's method of treating disease will open doors for the entrance of present truth. Health literature must be circulated in every land. And this is what we're trying to do here. Well, I'm trying to do, puts out some tracks and that for you to give. Not only for yourself to learn, but to go forth and give that message. So therefore, this, what I'm just sharing today, is a little different from what I normally share, because I just wanted to try, because I didn't think there would be that many people here on the last Sabbath day, because I thought you might be on holiday. But it's good that God has brought you here. So what I was just thinking is if the health message is the right hand of the gospel and has to go together, then maybe our sermons have to be mixture of health and the gospel. And this is where I have just chose this, for a starting point. So what I'm going to try to do is to share what you can do when you open a door and to share with someone. Okay, I chose the one for smoking this time. The only smoking animal and the real truth about hell. Okay? So one of the leading causes of cancer in the world, in Australia and in much of the world is what? Lung cancer. Okay? Nearly all the people. So lung cancer, prostate, breast cancer, colorectal cancer, melanomas are probably mostly prevalent in Australia. So these total over 60% of all cancers in Australia. And 45,000 people die of cancer. And yet 8,000 of those, 8,500 are from lung cancer. So what does the Bible teach? The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. So what does smoking and cancer do? It comes to kill and steal our life. Okay? And Jesus is trying to say that he's come to give it more abundantly. The worldwide annual death toll from smoking has reached a mind-boggling of 3 million people each year. This equates to one death every 10. In the US, smoking accounts for as many as 1 in every 5 deaths. Ezekiel 33:11 says, "Say unto them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn ye from your way, evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" So when God looks upon us and sees, God is saddened at the number of deaths that occur daily. And a lot of these deaths are unnecessary, isn't it? So God is asking us to turn from those ways and to live. The deadliest lifestyle practice in Australia that increases prevalence of numerous diseases, not just cancer, is the use of tobacco. So some individuals know that tobacco is harmful. Many of us admit they still know it's harmful and yet have a desire to quit. But many have a bravado attitude that they feel impervious to this disease. And despite what individuals believe, harmful lifestyle factors such as smoking affects the health. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of those ways are of death. Proverbs 14:12. So yeah, so we may think that we have that disease, or we can actually have an attitude, well, I'm only living once, so might as well enjoy that. But we know that there is a second chance, so we can plead that with, as we learned in our Sabbath school, with tenderness, meekness, and compassion. How many different chemicals can be found in a cigarette? Yes, everyone knows it's quite a few. So this is taken from the Australian Cancer Council sort of thing. So I've just got a lot of them Australian chemical cancers, but when I looked at the overseas, there were almost twice as many. So whatever it is, it's a lot. Over 4,000 chemicals, including 43 cancer-causing compounds and over 400 toxins. And some of these are the nicotine tar, carbon monoxide, formaldehyde, ammonia, hydrogen cyanide. So what does the Bible teach? Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Philippians 2, 3 and 4. So we are informed to be thoughtful to others, to consider other people. So the chemicals in smoke are not only noticeable to non-smokers, but they are offensive. Some people may be allergic to smoke. And some chemicals, as we know, gets the smoke chemicals into our clothing and into our upholstery. So secondhand smoke and the health primarily affects others' health primarily through the smoke found in tobacco. So how many chemicals are known as carcinogens? 43 compounds are known as carcinogens. So cigarette smoking affects the health of our bodies. Therefore, we cannot glorify God. For it says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So in modern evidence shows that smoking is a health hazard. How do we know that? You know, probably a lot of us not era smokers, but on the health packets of cigarettes, there's a health warning. It affects our immune system. And under the pleading of my daughter, I was going to show you a couple of those, but this is not the main message, is that those health messages, because my daughter probably thought it wasn't good. But yeah, this is truly what happens. But you know, in those carcinogens, you know, there is arsenic, formaldehyde, benzene, and cadmium, a hard, heavy metal. And these cannot get out of the metal. And these themselves are known as cancer initiators. And therefore, they start and form cancer. Smoking causes more than lung cancer. It's also implicated in cancers of the... Yes. The lip, the mouth, the throat, trachea, which is our windpipe here, esophagus, the stomach, liver, pancreas, bladder, kidney, colon, skin, and leukemia. All are leading implications from smoking. Okay, so smoking not only gives lung cancer, but has other implications for these other diseases. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the coarse, curseless shall not come. Proverbs 26:2. Probably you're wondering what that means. It's basically saying that disease does not come without a cause. You know, we invite that disease into us, and therefore it does not come without a cause. So lifestyle habits increase the likelihood of developing many types of diseases, including the specific types of cancers which we have just shown. What are some of the diseases? Diseases besides cancer that are increased by smoking? Heart diseases, diabetes, and wound healings. So most of us are aware of the relationship between smoking and the lung cancer. But not only does smoking affect every part of the body from head to foot, it also causes numerous types of cancers. Now, heart problems is caused by cancers, and therefore diabetes. And one of the pictures I was going to show is diabetes. What's one of the things that happens to a lot of diabetics is they amputate and things like that. And I was treating a patient with gangrene. And this, once you see this, this disease and treating gangrene, it's the hardest thing is getting used to the smell. But to treat that and see that, you wonder why they want to smoke. But this person had gangrene, not from that, but came out of a hospital from wrong treatments on a heart condition and end up with gangrene. So had the opportunity to have an experience of treating someone. So they're the pictures that are not so good. So understand Proverbs 16:22, understanding is the wellspring of life. Unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The Bible's telling us that understanding is the wellspring. Knowledge and understanding is imperative that we have to be able to make wise choices. Tobacco has already been implicated in cancers as well as many other conditions as we just showed you. Heart diseases, diabetes, and wound. Here's a question. What is the leading cause of death in Australia? If I were to guess, if someone has heart disease, I thought that might come from Peter. Diabetes, lung cancers. Obesity is the leading cause. Anyone want to have one more option? Addiction. We've got to get back to the cause of these problems. And we'll see in all your heart problems, your cancers, or your whatever it is, addiction is the main cause of the death in Australia. Addiction to, as someone says, obesity. We have a problem of self-control with foods. Diabetes, we have that problem with, overweights and things like that, which goes back. And so to me, this is the leading cause of death, and not only in Australia, but it could be everywhere else, is that our addiction. So, you've got the Bible text. So Proverbs 23:35. And this is actually, in this Bible verse, it's probably talking about alcohol. But as we know, alcohol is an addiction also, and so is our topic of cancer. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I have felt it not. When shall I wake? I will seek it again. Addictions are considered such because either physiologically or psychologically a person has a habit that they cannot break. And this is when you have addictions of those you cannot break. All right, I'll ask you one question on addiction. Cell phones, can you live a couple of days without them? If you did, well, it's not an addiction. a lot of us have. So what are some of the addictions that we have besides alcohol? Yes, as I mentioned to Crystal the other day, pain pills is another addiction that we have in Australia. Gambling, shopping is another addiction. Yeah, I know it's my wife out of there. And also, technology is rampant as an addiction. Okay, but this is what I'm getting at, is this is the leading cause. Now, a lot of these other causes you can put into a cause of our health problems. So, what is the average loss in years for a smoker compared to a non-smoker? At least 25% of all smokers die prematurely from smoking-induced illness. 25%. That's 1 in 4. Those individuals lose an average of 25 years of life. In other words, if you're a 30-year-old non-smoker, you could live to 82. If you're a 30-year-old smoker, you would die at 61. You. And does this God wants this? God is saddened by all this, that He wants us to live the life filled. Yes. Yeah. But I wouldn't ask everyone from here to take up smoking so you could live to 101. So no, that is, yeah, probably because due to his constitution he lived a reasonably good life. But as we get closer to the close of Earth's probation, you know, our degeneration of our young people and ourselves are getting a lot worse. And so young people are dying a lot younger from a lot of lung disease, obesity, and those diseases which took 65 to 70 before they become prevalent. Yeah, no, thanks for that, Coral. But, nice to live to 101. Okay, be not righteous over much. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 16 and 17. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why should they destroy thyself? Be not over wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why should thou die before thy time? So we here have classic Hebrew parallelism in this Bible verse, because King Solomon is asking one question. Why do you want to destroy yourself? Why do you want to die? So we find that, what's the end result of a cigarette when it is finished? What do we have? Ashes. And this is what I just want to see. So we are almost in this topic here, which is what I just wanted to share, if you bring it to someone who is smoking and a quit smoking program. See, they won't know what to do with a quit smoking program, and this is not the idea of to here to show you that. But so I just wanted to show you, if they're bringing quit smoking, then we can bring the topic of our Bible topic about death of the wicked. What did they do? They become ashes. And so this is the question where I'm just trying to share with someone that you may be able to use. So we see here almost an allegory of quit smoking, to what the end would be, we call ashes, or as in the modern denominations, they call hell. So we just transform a bit now to here. So what is hell? So the Bible translates, Deuteronomy 32:22. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increases, and set fire in the mountains, foundations of the mountains. One thing about the King James Version Bible, it's a Bible I always use, but we've got to understand that hell in the Bible he uses hell in there, but it should be better translated to grave. And the modern translations do translate that to grave also. So in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament, they use the word Sheol, and that was 31 times in the Old Testament. In the Greek, in the New Testament, Hades is used. That's about 10 times. And there's one time they use Tartarus, which means darkness, a place of darkness. And there's Gehenna, which is a place of burning, which we get this false teaching of doctrine about people being tormented and burnt forever and ever. So a lot of people, you don't underestimate, we probably don't believe that, but there's a lot of Protestant denominations, and especially Catholic denominations also, believe in this teaching. So here is a teaching that we could learn from with a few Bible verses. So the word Gehenna is a transliteration of the word Gehenna, means Valley of Hinnom. So where is the Valley of Hinnom? It is southwest of Jerusalem, where dead animals, refugees are dumped, and the fire is continually burning. Just like a modern sanitation dump, when we see a lot of those. And I just noticed in Egypt there, where they had this modern sanitation dump, and it caught fire and it burnt for a long time, where the people were poor and they were taking their food off that. So that's what the Bible terms. The Bible used Gehenna or Valley of Hinnom as a symbol of the fire that will destroy at the end of time. The fire of Gehenna is not forever, otherwise it would be still burning southwest of Jerusalem today. For whom shall the hellfire be prepared? Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So, this everlasting fire initially when God was only prepared for devil and angels. But when man had fallen, you know, devil and angels were synonymous with sin. And when man had fallen, he fell into sin also. So God's work in this world today is to separate us from sin. Because in the Bible it teaches us sin is enmity with God and is not subject to his law. So God cannot change sin in anything to make it holy and righteous. So he has to destroy it. So if God cannot destroy, separate us from sin, then he's got to destroy sin out of love and out of compassion. So only those who yield their allegiance to the devil will be partakers of him and his angels. All sinner and sinners will be destroyed in the fire, making the world safe for eternity. When will the wicked be punished? 2 Peter 2, verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Beware of other Bible translations said they are being punished now. But that God has reserved the unjust to a day of punishment. So the wicked will be cast into that hellfire at the great judgment day at the end of the world. As there are tares that are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and they shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So as we see, the wicked are gathered at the end. Well, who does the gathering? Angels. And then the wicked will be punished. If the wicked are reserved for a specific time of punishment, are they being punished now? John 5, 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. That's Christ's voice. And shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. In Job 21, 30, that the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction, they shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. So in those two Bible texts, there is no burning in hell. There's no limbo. There's no purgatory. The Bible teaches that the wicked have died and they are reserved in the grave until judgment. And that is at the end of the 1,000 years. At that time, they'll be resurrected from the grave and not from hellfire to receive their reward. God has not sent them down there as a punishment and bring them back to receive their punishment and then do for them to go back again. That's not the God that we serve. He's a compassionate. So what is the reward of the wicked? Well, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You notice the contrast here. Eternal life and eternal death. It's not eternal life in hell versus eternal life in heaven. So it is complete contrast. It's the opposite. Life and death. So we all must die the first death. The Bible said so, that all must die in Hebrews 9:27. Those who have taken notes will see that we die. And the wicked will die the second death. From the first death, all are raised to punishment or reward, but there's no resurrection from the second death. It's final. Moreover, for the punishment of sin is an everlasting torment in hell. If the punishment of sin is an everlasting torment in hell, then Jesus Christ has not paid that penalty for sin because it's still there and in punishment. But Jesus came to pay that, give us that gift that we don't have that eternal punishment. So what is the eternal reward of the wicked. Revelation 20 and 11 to 15. And I saw a great white throne, and on him that sat it, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small, great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to the works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So what is the reward of the wicked? The second death. Death is the complete destruction of the wicked. Death, hell, and sin. Or the grave, sin, and the devil. So they cease, you know, the second death, they cease to exist. Just always remember, it may sound that God may be cruel, but it's not God that keeps us out of heaven. You know, He gives us that choice. We have choices to obey. Our refusal to accept the gift of salvation and a life of obedience and the will of God, then we've got to choose the life of the wicked. And that's what we are. God is asking us to choose this day whom you will serve. So who is exempt from the second death? Revelation 26, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On the second, on such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests and gods, priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So all who accept Jesus Christ will become part of the first resurrection. Everyone has got to come up in a resurrection, you know. But the first resurrection, when God comes to redeem, they're the ones he will take. But my brothers and sisters, God is truly the author. I just want to just remember, because I just want to cast your mind back to what our previous topic was of health. And it could be any health. I just chose smoking for this topic here. But it's any health. Do not forget that God is the author of physical laws, as he is the author of moral laws. It's a hard saying, you know, just as some people come to the doctrine as we share this morning, we can share our doctrine in meekness and as much as we can. And yet the person we're sharing could become our enemy and hate us because of the teaching. You try and share some sacred doctrines that the Catholic hold dear about Mary and things like that. When you bring that, they could make, you can make enemies of them. And so, in our Seventh-day Adventists, we could make enemies of our own brothers and sisters. And it is always to do with health. But if we understand that God is the author of testimonies as well as the author of the Bible, then if we love God, then we'll accept that truth by faith. And then you'll see the blessings and the consequences of those blessings come. So it is truly a sin to violate the laws of our being. Notice that? It is truly a sin to violate the laws of our being as it is to break the Ten Commandments. To do either is to break God's laws. Those who transgress the law of God in their physical organism will be inclined to violate the law of God as spoken on Mount Sinai. Counsels and Diet and Foods, page 17. So you can see, if we tend to, you know, we want to come worship God and keep His Sabbath holy, but we've got to keep all our life holy if we're hidden in Christ. And this comes to our laws and our beings and health. So if we break that, we break, you know, God's laws. And we are a transgressor, if knowingly. I'll put that there, if we knowingly do that. So what is meant by the term everlasting or forever when we look at the term hellfire or burning forever? In Jude 1:6 and 7, which is put. And the angels were kept not in their first, and angels were kept not their first estate, but left their own inhabitation. And he is reserved in everlasting chains under the darkness of judgment of the great day. So, where are they? Reserved in everlasting chains until that. So the Jews frequently look at everlasting to mean until completed or are until death. That's what everlasting is. We look at, if we want to look at a Bible verse, 1 Samuel, I think it is in 1:22. We talk about the life of Hannah. She was dedicated her son Samuel to what? To God, to abide with him forever. Samuel is where? He's in the grave today. So forever in there could not be forever in eternity, but forever as time lasted. And we also see in verse 7 in Jude, it describes the fire that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. We use this quite often. As this fire is not burning still, we see that the terms everlasting could either mean until complete or until consumed wholly. All right. Does hell buy a firm forever? We have in Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be as stubble. And the day cometh that shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and shall go forth and grow up as calves. You have that contrast. The wicked will, as root and branch, okay, we know that Jesus says, he says, I am the vine and we are the branches, and in him we are one. So if you destroy the root, you destroy the branches also. So the originator of sin is Lucifer and Satan. The wicked are his branches, and they will be destroyed or root. In other words, sin will not inhabit heaven again. But those who do fear the name of the Lord, he will have healing on his wings and will grow up to the stature of Jesus Christ for all eternity. And ye shall tread down the wicked, and they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In that day shall I do this, says the Lord. So this is where I share the change. Ashes, cigarette smoke come to ashes. What is the thing of the wicked? They come to ashes also. And where are they? Under the soles of our feet, which we'll just discuss in a minute. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as fat of the land. They shall consume. Into smoke they shall consume away. So where does the wicked go? They are consumed. And if we look at, put this text in part of Revelation 14, where it says, I'll have everlasting smoke, will never rest day or night. You will see that the consume is mean when it's all completed. Just like a cigarette is consumed into ashes, when man is consumed away, there shall be no more. Behold, they shall be as stubble as the fire shall burn them, and they shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor a fire to sit before them. Isaiah 47:14. You see, there's no everlasting fire. We couldn't sit beside that fire. And there's no coal to warm at. So when we look at hellfire and that teaching and that doctrine, we must look at it in all the context of all these other teaching or doctrines that we've shared. And you'll find that, none of these cities, but it's eternal. The death is an eternal consequence. You cease to exist. So where is this location of this hellfire? Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, and what manner of persons ought ye be in holy conversation and godliness? Where is this hellfire? It's the earth. Where's the location of this hell? It's the earth that is going to be melted away, and all the elements there are that are in. And they went up to the breadth of the city and compassed the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from out of heaven and devoured them. So according to Scripture, hell is not a smouldering pit beneath the earth which is filled with wicked people. Hell is a lake of fire. Hell is the lake of fire that is sent from heaven by God to destroy the devil, sin, and wicked here on earth. This takes place at the end of the 1,000 years, and not before. After sin and sinners and the earth are destroyed, what will Jesus do for his people? Nevertheless, 2 Peter 3:13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and new earth where dwelleth righteousness. So these ashes, on these ashes, God, the ashes have been the burning of the world, and on these ashes, God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And that's why we read that Bible text, that the new people on heaven and earth, and the wicked will be ashes under the soles of their feet. So God promises joy, peace, indescribable happiness for all living creatures throughout eternity. And in Isaiah 61:3 he says, I will give beauty for ashes. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. See, God is preparing for us an eternity. So, my brothers and sisters, God is love. But we come to the point of all this at this moment. This is one of the themes of Scripture. God has revealed his love to us through his Son Jesus. He's revealed his love through his law and his grace. The destruction of the wicked is also an act of love. The judgment is required as God's strange act is referred to as God's strange. Consider that God has given man free will and chooses to exercise this gift, to rebel against God and his government. In doing so, man has decided to pay the price for his own sins, which with his own blood. They rejected Christ and their Saviour. So in order for the saved of the earth to enjoy complete health, hope, and healing, sin must be eradicated. In the judgment, those who are destroyed will admit on bended knee that they have denied Christ in their lives and denied Jesus Christ as Lord. So the pain of hell is not the fire and brimstone, but eternal separation from God the Father, Jesus and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and all that is good and pure and wholesome and loving. Now, the question that you must answer, do you want Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? Your response to this question determines whether or not you will experience health, healing and happiness of the new heaven and the new earth. So as you can see in this presentation, I just tried to share that a tool that you may be able to use next year, maybe in your recipe clubs, maybe in your next door neighbours, that you can be able to combine the right arm of the message, the health message of something that they are going through, with a message of eternal life. Boy, sort of a couple of more. The four stages of death. What is the four stages? We go from acute, chronic degeneration to death. You know how that did. But what do we know in the Daniel statue of Daniel? How we get gold, silver, bronze and iron, how that deteriorates. So you can bring those things. Great controversy between Christ and Satan, you can bring an immune system. We have a strong immune system which gives us life. Life in the flesh of the blood, the foundation or plan of salvation, diabetes, the power of the Holy Spirit. So we can have plenty of opportunities to bring the truth of our health message. So, Sarah, I've got some tracks on, if you want, for those who are quitting or want to quit smoking or want to share to quit, it's not a theory, but it just says, you know, a few techniques that you can give to people or to share with people and how they may quit. But then you can point them to other our books of our denomination that will help them to quit smoking tobacco. And also a pamphlet Sarah will give to, you know, what happens when we die. It's a full explanation that you'll be able to share them. So make use of these things, you know, because I'm saying you can only be half a Christian if you only know the gospel and eliminate the health side of the message. But we can be full service of God to people in these last days. And so I thank you for listening. May God bless you. And may we be watchmen that are able to answer the question, what of the night? Now, the morning is coming and the night also. Don't forget, we are watchmen for our Lord Jesus Christ on the walls of Mount Zion. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the time that we are born into this world, Lord. But as my thoughts go back to Esther, you know, as a time as this, you know, we are called. You know, we are called, you know, to be saved, Lord. And we are to share this with other people. I pray, Lord, that, you know, these messages that you have brought to us this day, that you'll give us opportunities to share, you know, what we know. You know, if we're unable to do this, at least have that testimony. Help us to have that testimony that Jesus died for us and that then he's coming back soon. And so we know this is the keynote of all our scriptures, that Jesus coming back to save the redeemed. And so, Lord, as we come close to that end of the time, we start this new year, I pray, Lord, that, you know, the Holy Spirit would agitate our hearts on how we stand before thee, you know, we as an individual or we as a church. How that, if not, Lord, help us to, be like the three friends of Job. Help us to have that faith to change and to go forth and share the message of righteousness by faith and of thy soon coming and all the things would happen that it will happen between now and thy soon coming. Because we know that probation is soon to be closing, and even now, Lord, that the judgment of the living is soon approaching too. So, Lord, we have great responsibilities, and we ask you not to call us down from the walls of Zion, but to help us to know the times we're living in and to reflect Jesus Christ to the fullest. That whoever we come through, we will be able to stand in that day, knowing that you are there. You're the right hand of our salvation, and you are there to help us to stand firm and have courage when we have Jesus in our life. But Lord, if there's any health issues we have, help us to give to them and help us to find the remedies in your word, because you have given to, you know, what disease is and how to cure it, and then help us to go and share that with others. So Father, may as we go celebrate this the rest of this Sabbath, I pray that your blessing and your face will be a shine upon us as we fellowship together with one another. So thank you, Father, for blessing us, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.